We're now in the second week of our Lenten preaching series, which we call Cries of the Heart. Each week we are reading through one of the Psalms, which are prayers. And we're seeking each week to find Psalms that express the cries of the human heart so that we might experience a deeper prayer life in which the Psalms can become for us prayers that allow our hearts to connect with God's heart. And so the goal of the sermon every week is to help us be ready to pray these psalms for ourselves, to allow these ancient words to become our words, these ancient prayers, our prayers. Today's psalm is Psalm 139. You'll find this on page 854 in the red hymn book. Let's go ahead and read the Word of God together responsively. I'll read the regular print and you'll respond with the bold. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. You pursue me behind and before, and lay your hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high and cannot attain.
Whither shall I go from your spirit?
Or whither shall I flee from your presence?
If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there.
If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the
if I say, let only darkness cover me, and the light about me be night.
Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is a light with you.
For it was you who formed my inward parts.
You knit me together in my mother's womb.
I praise you, for you are fearful and wonderful.
Wonderful are your works.
You know me very well. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance.
In your book were written the days that were formed for me, every day before they came into being.
How profound to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them!
If I would count them, they are more than sand. When I awake, I am still with you.
Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God, and that the bloodthirsty would depart from me. Do I not hate them that hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe them that rise up against you?
I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts.
And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Several years ago, I was walking through a public park in Durham, North Carolina, when I encountered a woman who was sitting on a park bench by herself with her face in her hands, sobbing uncontrollably. Next to her on the bench was a tattered styrofoam cup, and behind that was a cardboard sign which simply read, "Homeless and hungry." I had been through this park before. It was not uncommon to see persons living in homelessness sitting on the benches in this park. And yet, I felt extremely surprised this day because never before had I seen somebody in that situation so openly broken and weeping. Concerned for this woman's safety, I gently slid a couple of dollars into her cup and I sat down on the bench next to her. At first, I don't think she even realized I was there. And so after a moment, I said to her, ma'am, what's wrong? And she lifted her tear-filled eyes from her hands and she said to me, "Nobody knows me. Nobody knows me." I pressed her for conversation. I said, "What do you mean, nobody knows you?" She said, "I've been without a home for 7 months. I've been in 8 different cities. Nobody's come to look for me. Nobody knows I'm here. Nobody knows what kind of trouble I'm in. Nobody cares about me. Nobody knows me." What a heartbreaking moment that was. And it was in that moment that I realized something. That in our world, the greatest poverty is to be unknown. The greatest poverty is to be unknown. To be unknown is to be unseen, unheard, misunderstood, utterly isolated. You know, it's one thing to find yourself in a hole. It's one thing to find yourself in trouble, maybe with no food or no clothing. But if somebody knows you're in the hole, there is always hope. There's always hope that somebody knows you're down there and that somebody might do something to help you. Better yet, it's always better if somebody's in the hole with you. And particularly if that somebody's been there before and they know the way out. There's no greater poverty in life than to be unknown and utterly alone. And that was the experience of this woman sitting on the bench in the park, completely unknown to the world. The Bible says that we were not created to be unknown. We were created for relationships, to know others and to be known by others. We were created for companionship. In the early chapters of Genesis, no sooner is Adam, the first man, formed from the dust of the ground, than God makes a declaration. "It is not good for the man to be alone," God says. And so God creates the first woman to be Adam's companion, his life partner. And the two of them know each other and they share the journey of life together. We were wired from the beginning of creation to be known, to be in relationship. There is no greater poverty than to be unknown and to be isolated. Psalm 139 is a prayer that arises from the core conviction that God knows us. That God knows those whom God has made. 7 times in this psalm, the writer refers to the Hebrew verb to know. And that verb means much more than just intellectual knowledge or intellectual understanding. But in the Hebrew Bible, to know means something personal and intimate. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, sexual intimacy is often referred to as knowing somebody. Knowledge is personal, it's intimate. And so the psalmist says, "O Lord, you have searched me and you have known me." The psalmist declares that God knows us perhaps better than we know ourselves. He says, "God, you know when I rise up, you know when I lie down. You know what I'm going to say before I say it. You know what I'm going to think before I think it. God, you know me completely." How is it that God so completely knows us? It's because God is always with us. The psalmist says, "Where can I go, O God, to flee from your presence? If I ascend to the heavens, you're there. If I go to the realm of the dead, to Sheol, I find that you are there. You hem me in. You are all around me, O God." God knows us because God is always with us. Now think about that. That's true in your life. Who are the people that know you the best? They're the people that spend the most time with you, aren't they? They're the people who love you. It was the educator and the writer Parker Palmer who once said, "Knowing is an act of loving." It's an act of entering into the reality of someone else and allowing that person to enter into your reality. If you really want to know someone, you have to love them. And to love somebody, you have to be willing to get close. You've got to sit where they sit. Go where they go. Be where they are. And the foundation of this prayer in Psalm 139 is that God knows us personally, intimately, and that wherever we go, God is there. That God has fully entered our reality. Now, when we understand that, it means that we are never unknown. We are never alone. And God knows everything about us. Now, what does that mean for us in our life of prayer? What that means, very frankly, is there is nothing that you can say to God that will take God by surprise. There's no feeling in your heart, no despair, no circumstance in your life that you can share with God that will catch God off guard, because God knows you completely. And so in Psalm 139, after the psalmist declares that God knows him, that God is always with him, the psalmist says, in light of that, I'm going to get real honest, oh God. God, I wish that you would slay the wicked. He says, God, I wish that you would kill those who persecute me. I wish, oh God, that you would cause those whom I hate to flee from my presence. Now, we don't typically think about praying like that, do we? But we don't know what the psalmist was experiencing, but it appears that he's got some folks that have been pretty mean to him. Perhaps he's been falsely accused of a crime. Perhaps somebody's spreading vicious rumors about him. We don't know. But what we do know is he feels like his enemies have risen up against him. And he knows that God knows him completely. And so he figures he'll take a shot and open and lay his heart bare to God. And then at the end of the prayer, after he's kind of expressed this anger over the circumstances of his life, what does he say? But search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. If there's any wicked in me, remove it from me. And so there's this example in this prayer of the kind of courage that we get when we know that God knows us. When we recognize God's presence in our lives, it means that we can be completely vulnerable, open, and honest in our prayers to God. Are you upset about a recent medical diagnosis? You can scream at God about that. He already knows. Are you feeling lonely? Are you in a place of despair? Are you struggling to make sense of why people are doing the things they're doing in your life? You can take that to God. Because God already knows you. God already knows what you're feeling. And at the end of your prayer, if you are willing to submit yourself, Lord, search me and try me. Know my heart. You begin to create space in your life for God's heart to connect with yours, for God's word to be poured out into your life, for you to begin to find a way forward. As I sat on the bench with that woman in Durham, as I listened to her heartbreaking story of being unknown, I didn't know what to say to her except these words. God knows you. God knows you. And in Jesus Christ, God understands the pain of your heart. In that moment, I invited her to pray with me. And we prayed. We prayed a prayer that expressed the despair of her heart. We prayed a prayer that opened all the wounds and made them available to God for healing. And I walked her down to the local shelter, and I have not seen her since. But I know that wherever she went after that day, God has not left her alone. God knows her. God knows right where she's at. The same is true for you. Wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever you might experience, however deep the hole you find yourself in, the good news of the gospel is this: God is there with you. And not only is God there with you, but God knows you, and God knows the way out of the hole. And when you recognize that, you always have hope. Whatever you're going through, you're not going through it alone. In a moment, I want us to pray this psalm. To put this psalm in our hearts. To let this psalm express our prayers. And when we get to that part of the psalm in verses 19 to 22, when the psalmist expresses his anger over his enemies, I want you to insert in that place in your heart whatever it is that's troubling you right now. Whatever it is that you need to be open and vulnerable to God about. Because God already knows. God already understands. When we make ourselves available to God in prayer, God begins to change us. Open your hymn book back to page 854. And here's how I want us to pray the psalm today. I want us to pray it in silence. I want you to pray these words in the silence of your own heart, as together we reach out to the God who knows us. Let us pray.